Greetings and welcome to the Dynamics of Colorism with your host, Dr. Donna Maria Culbreth. You may call in to share your experiences, colorism, to pose a question, or just to give a general comment. You may do so by dialing area code 914-338-1308. And now, to begin our show, here's Dr. Culbreth. Greetings and welcome to the Dynamics of Colorism for Thursday, November 13th. I'm your host, Dr. Donna Maria Culbreth, and our other host tonight is Dr. Julie John Kim. And we're coming to you live as we do every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Good evening, Dr. John Kim. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm great. Thank you for inviting me again.
Excellent. We have a wonderful show for you guys tonight. Before we even get into our topic, Dr. John Kim, this is actually what should have been last week. This is our second year, our anniversary. Dynamics of Colorism has been on the radio, on the air for 2 years now. So
that's amazing. And your number, it just keeps growing every single week. It's amazing. You're obviously doing something right, that you have so many followers.
This is excellent. We're happy, excited to all of our listeners. Thank you so much for your support, for listening, for asking us to cover certain material and certain topics each week. And for those of you who may be new who are listening, we are the Dynamics of Colorism Talk Radio. And even though our original purpose was to talk about colorism, because colorism covers such a broad, broad area of topics, we are talking about every and any issues that affect people of color. And if there are topics that we haven't covered or are not covering, feel free to contact us and let us know you'd like to hear a discussion about a specific topic area. So having said that, tonight, gang, our topic is focusing on girls and women of color moving forward, onward, and upward. And Dr. John Kim and I are excited and thrilled because what we did actually in October of this year, we came up with the idea of starting the National Girls and Women of Color Council, Inc. And our initials are, it stands for NGWCC. And we're excited about it. And the purpose of NGWCC is, as Dr. John Kim has noted, to spark a movement to help girls and women of color, to help you propel higher, to reach higher ground, support. And tonight we're going to go over and talk about NGWCC, our purpose, our mission, vision, where we see ourselves going and doing. And we'll talk about our membership that we'll have. Our website will be launching soon. We do have a Twitter Twitter account right now, and that's at NGWCC. We have a Facebook account, and we have a blog up, and our blog is at NGWCC at WordPress. Our website will be NGWCC.org, right, Dr. John Kim?
Yes, that's correct.
And we're excited, so without further ado, we're going to go in, and Dr. John Kim will start off talking to you about our purpose and why we're formed and our goals and listen in and hope this interests you to come out and get involved and work with us. Number one, to join Team NGWCC, to become a member, get involved and active, because, listeners, there are so many issues that are affecting girls of color with regard to breaking down gender, race, and color barriers. There's so many issues where on a united front with women and girls of color coming together, you know, there's power in numbers, number one, and we can do so much to propel everyone to where they need to be. Okay, Dr. John Kim, it's all yours.
Okay, well, pretty much, I mean, let's just have a heart-to-heart. So Dr. Culbreth and I, in early October, were sitting there hoeing and homing about the plight of women and girls in color. And as much as, you know, if you know anything about Dr. Culbreth and I, we will ho and hum and discuss the issues. But at the end of it, it always becomes with, like, well, what are we going to do? So this was one of our thinking kind of meetings, talking on the phone, exchanging ideas. And, you know, it seemed like if you go on Twitter and Facebook, there are so many different organizations that are advocating for either Black girls, Asian girls, you know, Hispanic girls, and they all have, like, the same purpose of helping. Well, we were discussing what would happen if all these organizations, instead of fighting one another, getting jealous of one another, what happens if we all stood together? Because we all have the same purpose of just as women, as people, advocating for, you know, our girls of color. And one of the quotes that really rung in for us, you know, especially since President Obama is our president, is, you know, he made this quote, I want to say it was last year, but it was like, with passion and courage, women have taught us that when we band together to advocate for our highest ideals, we can advance our common well-being and strengthen the fabric of our nation. Knowing that, we felt like that's exactly what the society needs, what people, like whether it's educators, administrators, people in the community who have different organizations, you know, if we could band together, the single purpose of helping girls and women of color to stand firm, to know who they are, to break down any kind of gender, race, or color barriers that are affecting them, and together, band together to study them, to make their voices known, and discover, you know, what are the issues that our girls, our women of color really need? Like, what's affecting them, whether it's psychologically, emotionally, physically, or socially? And we're not talking about, you know, talking about the beauty issues or cosmetic issues. We're talking about, okay, what is really going to help our girls to advance, to have that self-esteem? And a lot of times when we're talking about, you know, helping girls or women, the solution always seems to be, well, it's a beauty issue, or we need to give them affirmation. I mean, that's good and all, but what are we going to do? These girls need to have a higher self-esteem for them. We need to look at them. We need to write more papers for them. We need to research. We need to educate the nation, other people globally, about what the needs of girls of color are. So with passion and with excitement, I think that's where this new organization came up. And, of course, we're so excited that, you know, yesterday, it just so happens, timing is awesome that President Obama decided to, you know, discuss this yesterday about, you know, advocating for girls of color. So we were really excited because the time was good, and we were going to talk about this in last week's show, but, you know, we discussed it this week. So we're excited. So Dr. Kovitz, is there anything else you want to say?
Yeah, well, I think you covered it all really well, and I think it's important that we understand, and like Dr. John Kim noted, that we come together in unity, all of the racial groups come together,
yes,
women and girls of color, and work together on the united front. There are power numbers, and there's so much more that we can do. And not only that, we're not concerned with, and Dr. John Kim, you know this, we're not looking at the surface issues or the cosmetic issues. We're looking at the root issues. What are the issues? What are the concerns? And how we, on one united front, one huge council of girls and women of color, how we can come together and address these issues. Because, you know, it's the old saying my granddad used to say, that before, you know, in order for us to get to that place, we have to get to that place, rather, before we can go to the place. And I used to wonder, what the heck is he talking about? But in hindsight, now that I'm thinking about it, it's like you have to, basically, it's almost like what Einstein said, you have to know actually, you have to get to the place you need to be at, you know, psychologically, emotionally, physically, socially, in order for you to continue to advance and grow and reach higher ground. So we are, you know, excited about that. And remember, I think at the end of the day, like Dr. John Kim, you noted, there's so many groups out there, but we don't see them working in harmony or in unity or working together as a whole. And by starting this council, our goal for this council is that everybody, all of the groups, and here's something else, you know, we all come together and we address issues, because we'll talk about this later in the show, but one of the biggest concerns is that nobody is really conducting, like, research or at least we don't see people of color conducting the research on issues that affect our girls and our women. And I get kind of a frizzied, and Dr. Jung Kim can tell you this, upset and annoyed when I see people outside of people of color, racial groups, studying them and not being able to really understand and identify. They just want to take numbers and look at numbers or data and say, well, it's A, B, C, or D, without bringing that human touch or that experience or that connection into it. So our purpose and goal is that we want to, you know, break down these gender, race, and color barriers that continue to affect girls and women of color. And, you know, we know that there are issues with education, with STEM. You know, I think one of the other issues they brought up in the meeting was talking about abuse. But there, it's so much deeper than those issues. We need to get to and address and understand the underlying issues that keep they continue to put us in boxes. And
to add on to that, you know, Dr. Colwitz and I have talked about how they're definitely, you know, when we're both administrators, we're both educators in the arena of, you know, academia, in the college level. And the thing is, we've both done our research, and we feel like, you know, there needs to be more of a core understanding of girls and women of color, you know, whether psychologically, sociologically, in educational journals. But, you know, honestly, there are few articles that really address, you know, or study this demographic. You know, they're being excluded. And because they're excluded, they're becoming more and more invisible. And that's the thing that, like, Dr. Coleman and I keep talking about is, you know, we have gone out there and said, you know, why are there not more studies out there? You know, some of the things that Dr. Coleman and I have heard back from academic researchers are, you know, there's not enough of them to really study, or enough to count. And you know what? When you really look at that word that people keep coming back to Dr. Colbert and I and saying that there's not enough of them to count. Like, in the dictionary, it, you know, count means, like, you know, the number of people. But, you know, I think we know deep down that sometimes it feels like society is actually saying that they're not valued enough. They're not significant enough to really study, to understand, to write papers on. And that's where Dr. Colbert and I really want this organization to change. So anyone who's listening who feels like, you know what, I'm tired of girls of color, women of color, you know, being forgotten, they have unique needs. This research, this study of widening the scope of society to include women of color in literature and media and just everything needs to be done. So anyone that also feels a passion, we invite them to come and join us and link arms with us, because we don't want our girls and women to be invisible anymore. Like, we already know that they're seen in photographs, they're misrepresented in media, they're segregated, they're always seen as the other. And I think we're all tired of this. You know, we want our girls to have a voice. We want them to be seen as more than the other, as just a stereotype. And so I think one of the things that's really important is that we don't want our girls and women of color to be silenced anymore. We want them to be represented. We want them to be understood. We want them to know that they are of value. They're not just something of little significance. They are the world changers. And if anyone is interested in joining and advocating in this way, or just getting more information on it, like, we invite you to join.
That's right. We do. Because there's so much that needs to be done. And there's so much. And it's just, Dr. Jung Kim, you made a good point. Because just in conducting research, it's so limited. And if it is conducted, it's maybe, okay, let's talk about colorism and issues of girls and women of color, or let's talk about race and girls and women of color. But we need to get deep down and really address the issues. And not only that, we need to be able to develop programs and ideas, concepts that are going to help propel girls and women of color to reach higher ground. Now, there's a significant number women and girls of color who are doing well and have, you know, reached higher ground. We need you to get involved as well. But this is not an organization where you're going to be. It's not an all academic thing. We want everyone from all walks of life. We want, you know, to get involved, be a part of this change that Dr. Jung Kim and I, our vision and our goal, be a part of this, because together we can make a significant difference and we can change how girls and women of color, number one, are treated and viewed and identified and labeled in the media. You know, just the mere fact that, you know, some of the issues I see, and especially with some of the blogs or some of the news postings that you see online, some of the stuff, Dr. Jung Kim, that I read sometimes makes my head spin. And, you know, from there being a big misconception or understanding of what colorism really is, Dr. Jung Kim and I are going to address that later on, but from that to dealing with race issues, there seems to be like people want to just go and talk, well, let's talk about these one, two, or three issues, but it's bigger than that. And you cannot take a Band-Aid and put it on a wound that requires stitches and say, okay, now go heal. If that wound needs stitches, then you have to put stitches, you know, put them in there, whatever you do with them. But at the end of the day, our focus is that our vision, most importantly, is that we are going to be, we're not that we're planning, we are going to be the leading organization for girls and women of color who will provide resources. We want to collaborate, provide guidance, direction, and unity to propel girls and women of color to reach higher ground in life. And our biggest, I think the greatest thing, Dr. Chung and Kim, and you and I coming up with this idea to start this council, is that it's going to bring together people from all walks of life and all racial groups. And we don't want this just to be something for the United States. We want this to be, like, globally. Because there's so many other groups, like our friend in Pakistan, who's working with us on other projects with I Am Beautiful. It's a global issue. So that we will be able to not just focus in on what is happening to girls and women here in the United States. Our concern also is to look at, address, support groups of girls and women of color in other countries and let them know that together as on a united front, we can do so much more. I think this is just going to be wonderful, Dr. Jung Kim.
Yeah, definitely. And also, like, to the point, like, we know there's organizations out there looking at just girls in general or women in general, whether they're councils or commissions, but, you know, we really want to emphasize that there is a difference between, I mean, yes, our girls and women, but there are unique needs for girls and women of color. And to box them into one group saying, you know, this is a council for women and girls, and that's enough, of a study, that's ignoring, really, the needs of the unique needs of, you know, women and girls of color. So that's why we are specifying women and girls of color, not just girls and women, because there are so many studies already out there for girls and women, whether going through adolescence or puberty or whatever it may be, you know, psychologically, academically. But we really want to make sure that, you know, this demographic, girls and women of color, that they're not marginalized, that they're not ignored, that their needs, their culture, their ethnicity is not ignored. It's not just simply placed in the block saying, okay, you're all the same. You're a woman, you're a girl, so all your needs are the same, because that's ignoring a lot. So that's another reason that we're advocating, you know, that be clarified. Girls and women of color, we have our own unique needs, and this in literature and media and society really needs to be emphasized and looked at in a deeper level.
Exactly. And that's exactly what needs to be the focus. And I think what we're doing is so significant and so important that I really believe that the membership is going to be huge. I think there are going to be so many people who are going to want to come and get involved. And what's exciting about it is that we will have, like, membership plans and benefits for being members. And I think that's going to be even more exciting. What do you think, Dr. Junkin?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And also, you know, just in that category, too, our America is a great melting pot. We have so many immigrants who are girls and women of color. And to ignore that huge population and group them into just women and girls is a great travesty because, you know, we know that, you know, things like their ethnicity, their gender, their class, it all has shaped and defined their opportunities. And, you know, those things are both their strengths and their weaknesses in their lives. And to ignore that, it's to ignore so much about who they are. And that's not something that girls or women should of color should have to stuff down and say, you know, that's not important, that, you know, because that's not being studied. We have to acknowledge that these are spheres that affect them, affect their well-being and their understanding of who they are. And that's the big thing is why are we trying to ignore their identity and put them in a big box with other girls or women when we have to, you know, explore that and study that and talk about it. And by doing that, our girls and our women will have a stronger self-identity. They're not going to depend on someone else to say, this is who you are. You will have the confidence to say, this is who I am. Take me as I am with everything that I have been through growing up or coming to America, you know, in my class or the things that I have understood in my family or whatever educationally. And that is what is going to make a future leader who breaks the glass ceiling of a girl or woman of color. And that's something that we really want to push. Like, diversity is not something that you forget about. A person's background for a woman or girl of color is not ignored. You do not put that in the box. You do not ask her to stuff it down that it's not important. We need to illuminate that because it's important.
That's right. It is very important. And I think that what's really important is what you noted is that we have to stop allowing society as a whole to take girls and women of color and put them in a box or say, well, we gave you a little bit of attention or we gave you this one little crust of bread, be happy, go away. You know, we intend on focusing on all the issues from colorism, like Dr. Junkin said, to education, race issues, breaking down barriers, gender issues, looking at STEM, you know, looking at the whole picture of all of the issues that, you know, affect our girls and women of color, because it's time for this to happen. We've noted people talk about it, they discuss it, but we need to take action. And like Dr. Jung Kim says, be the power to empower yourself. This organization is probably designed, you know, to help you empower yourself, to lift yourself up. We, Dr. Jung Kim and I were talking earlier today, and, you know, and there's several issues without me dropping anything about our new book. I'm trying not to. If I start to, Dr. Jung Kim, shut me up. It seems as if society is saying to girls and women of color, you know, you're so fragile. You're like porcelain or a piece of glass, and if a heavy weight falls on you, you're supposed to crumble and shatter and fall apart. But we are so much more than that. We are strong and resilient. And together, with all of us coming together and understanding that we are strong, we have the power, we are resilient, then in that light alone, there is so much that we can do. You know, we want to eventually, like Dr. Jung Kim noted, I think it's going to be great. We want to set up like local chapters in what was in every state. Am I correct?
Yes, local chapters. And we believe that these local chapters are important because, you know, we're all fighters. We're out there to be advocates for women and girls of color. And you know what? Dr. Colbert and I both empathize because we know it's very hard. Whether you're trying to write a book and get it out there in a publishing world that's run by white men, they don't understand the needs of women and girls in color. We understand that. We want to build local chapters and then have national conferences because we don't want girls, we don't want, you know, academics or administrators or just students, whatever, to feel burned out or feel alone, that this is something that it's in their heart, but they feel like nobody's listening. We're listening. We're here to support one another. And that's why this council is being developed. So you can meet together. You can, you know, have made-up groups where you're discussing, okay, this is what I'm working on right now. I'm writing a book, or I'm getting ready to write a paper for a conference or a journal, and just to spur each other on and say, you know what, you can do this, and this sounds good, and you know what, have you thought about this research, or have you thought about trying to get sponsorship for your organization that addresses the needs for girls or women of color? Like, you know, we can help each other out. We're not fighting. We're wasting energy if we're just trying to fight each other and trying to up one another. We need to be one voice, you know, out there to help the girls and women of color. We are not each other's enemy. We are here to have the same understanding, the same needs, and walk together in unity, arm in arm, to raise awareness.
That's right. You know, and that's the key to Usher Junction, raising awareness. Because without doing that, and sometimes it's like you noted earlier, it's as if sometimes society has a tendency of treating girls and women of color and the issues that they deal with as if they're invisible. And we must raise awareness to all of the issues, not just one or two little issues, all of them, from girls and women of color living in poverty to educational issues, health issues, being able to come out and collaborate and talk and have the support and networking is so crucial. And our goal is, Dr. Junction noted, we're even planning, we want to have a huge convention and bring all of the groups and women, everyone come together, and let's sit down and let's have the roundtable discussions, let's have meetings. We're looking at having a mentoring division where we can have mentors set up for girls to mentor them and work with them. The education division, Dr. Jung Kim noted about the publishing issues, because I think that's one of the crucial areas where we need to see more support, especially for writers of color.
And that's exactly why, you know, Dr. Colbert has developed the Writers of Color, that group. So if you have not found it yet, like, definitely look for it on Facebook. There are a lot of people who want to voice to Dr. Colbert. I'm so excited for this. Like, finally, there's some place where my voice feels like it's important, because I've just been getting so many rejection letters, or I felt like, you know, what I'm writing is not important, even though my character or the race issues that I'm bringing into my story, like, it seems like they want that taken out. And you know what? That's why Dr. Colbert established the Writers of Color for Women and even Complexity Publishing, because, you know, we don't want girls or women of color, their stories, their unique stories, to be forgotten just because it doesn't meet the needs of the current publishing industry, or they don't feel like it's marketable to the general population, because, you know, that's, you know, that's just garbage. Those, you know, our society is growing more and more with more immigrants, with more women and girls of color, and to not have those stories out there, I feel sad for this generation and the next generation to not have those people to look at and say, wait, that person's just like me. That's so refreshing, because everybody that I'm reading in my books in school or when I'm watching TV, I don't see anyone that looks like me. So we need to have that. We need to have that more out there in our literature, in on our TVs, you know, in our music, whatever it may be. But we want people who reflect our general population, our girls and women of color, and that's what we're advocating for. So definitely, everyone out there, continue to watch for growth. Let's support one another. So like us on our Facebook page. Definitely like us on Twitter. Like, and continue to read our WordPress blogs. We'll definitely be sharing more information, and really consider joining and walking arm in arm with us in this council.
Yeah, that's perfect. And I think, and also remember too, that what we also want to become involved is actually working on projects together, collaborating, whether it's projects involving mm-hmm. health issues, STEM, just general activities, you know, whether we have a journal that we have together. We will have a monthly newsletter. We'll have a spot member in the spotlight every month. Unsung members, of course. And Dr. Jung Kim covered the research because, you know, that research issue is so big. We need to see something that's really supporting girls and women of color from all racial groups, backgrounds, ethnicities. We need to see this. So when we start talking about moving forward, onward, and upwards, it really requires the ability for everyone involved to learn, embrace, think, believe, and apply. You know, and this is pretty cool. Awesome, Dr. Jung Kim and I talked about this. We've learned from the past, or we are learning from the past, in order for us to embrace our future, to think positively so that we can move onward, believing with every fiber of your being that you can propel yourself forward. And as you're doing that, you apply positive thoughts, beliefs, and behaviors to help you reach your goals, or where you need to go. So, and what's really good, Dr. Jung Kim, because in syncing up NGWCC, and for those of you who may have tuned in late, NGWCC stands for National Girls and Women of Color Council. So when we look at moving forward, we're talking about moving forward, overcoming racial skin color barriers, which we've talked about, but it's also about a section in a new book that we're writing, strategically planning to move forward. It's like, what are your plans? What do you plan on doing to help yourself reach higher ground in life? What are you doing to get there? And how are you getting there? Do you have a plan? Do you have, as they say, a blueprint, an outline of something that's going to help you achieve your goals? You know, we cannot continue to keep talking about what should be done, what needs to be done, or we need to do it. What do you think, Dr. Jung Kim?
No, absolutely. Everything that you're saying is you really nailed it on the head. And definitely, like, you know, with everything that Dr. Kolbeck and I have been doing in the past year, please remember, everyone out there, thank you for your lovely letters and emails and everything. But please remember that right now there's only two of us. And as much as you have ideas for, you know, things you want us to write next, please know that our book is coming out soon. And definitely, we're working on other books. We're working on manuals. Yes, we definitely feel like it is important to get the voice out there, to get books out there for girls and women of color. We are definitely working on manuals. We are working on all of the suggestions that, you know, you have suggested. But please remember, we're only two people. But we are done with affirmations of girls of color. You know, we're just doing the finishing touches. And that's why now we're launching this council, because we feel like this is the next big thing that needs to be addressed. Whether it's the journal or the roundtable discussions that need to be done with girls and women of color. Because, you know, everyone's voice is important. And we want girls and women to feel like, you know, they're important, what they've been through. And together we can achieve all things. We can bring in mentorship. But definitely we are going to go into the schools. We are going to try to have workshops. We are planning all of that. We are planning a conference and definitely more books. So thank you to everyone who likes, you know, the WordPress blogs that we've been written, or even the Twitter. Thank you for all the followings that have grown over the last week. I can't believe the number has just jumped like 80 more people. It's growing every day. So thank you just for your support. And even when you decide to join into Facebook or Twitter, you write us a nice little email saying, finally, there's something that my daughter and I or my family that represents who we are, and not in a sexual kind of way, not in a hyperpigmentation, skin color, or hair issue kind of way, but something that really will address the needs of what we're going through, what our needs are, and looks at us like we're human beings, you know, not simply something to be studied by people who don't understand us. Because that's another thing, too, is when girls and women of color are being studied or written about, so often, and bless their hearts, the people who are trying. But so often, they forget that they're not lab rats. We're not on the laboratory table to be studied and dissected in such a way. And as much as we understand their efforts to study, you know, the different races and look at them and look at their needs, we are more than that. We are more than spectacles to be studied and dissected. Like, okay, it's great, it's wonderful, but now what? Like, how are you, as people studying us, writing about us, how are you going to advance our voices? And that's the thing, like, don't marginalize women and girls of color. Don't forget that they have voices. Don't forget that they have brains. Don't try to tell us what we are or what we're not. You know, I think we have to understand women and girls of color for who they are, the whole person, not dissected into little parts and being told this is who you are and this is who you will be and this is what your people are like, because it's kind of insulting.
So definitely,
like, this council, that's not something that we support. If anything, we want girls and women of color to be seen as people, future leaders, not the others, not people who are just invisible or who are just being studied simply for their dissertation, but, you know, people who deserve to have a voice.
That's right. And it's so crucial to understand that. My goodness. And you know what the biggest thing is, Dr. Jung Kim, is when you're talking about, like, having the voice, so many times when we do hear, like, the media mainstream talking about issues with girls and women of color, it's always the negativity. It's never anything positive. You know, we want to hear positive. And if you've noticed, they'll give the headlines and put it in and highlight it and talk about it and discuss it. And we need to see more positive focus of thought patterns when it comes to girls and women of color. And, you know, speaking of coming up with girls and women of color, we also need to get away from identifying and targeting girls because of the color of their skin. And that's something else that just we will address and deal with the division of colorism, because it's just to the point now where we don't need to see, we see colorism continuing to be such a serious issue because we're seeing so many pop-ups of, well, the dark-skinned girls or the light-skinned girls. No, we're women and girls of color. And as long as we, as people in society, continue to label, identify, or to make a distinction based on skin color, because that's what colorism is, and it's, we need to clear that up too, Dr. Jung Kim, because so many people do not understand what colorism is. It is not just light against dark. You know, it, the spectrum of colors, it's dark with light, medium and dark, and understanding the difference in what colorism is and understanding what the colorism complex is. And I've seen so much information on the web where people are writing articles or blogs. So much is wrong. And we're going to address those issues as well, but in order for us to move forward, we have to, number one, stop putting labels on the color of people's skin, especially when we as people of color continue to do it. You want to talk about issues affecting girls of color or women of color dealing with colorism, then do that. But you don't have to continue with making that distinction. Oh, here go the dark girls over here. Here's something about dark girls. You can get your message across without having to make that distinction, because I think the problem is, Dr. Jung Kim, which I have noticed and I find so, so annoying, is that when people continue to use those labels or to identify a group of girls or women of color by the color of their skin, that is continuing to perpetuate colorism. And when you see people of color doing it, I'm like, come on. You know, we have to learn and understand, and I guess as soon as I get that colorism book out on the market, we'll be better off, and I think people will be able to understand it. But I also think that when we start talking about girls and women of color and the issues that they're dealing with, number one, as you guys know, on my plate is the colorism issues. Number two, the fact that how girls and women of color continue to be marginalized in society. Dr. John Kim, a good example is whether it's racism, colorism, gender issues, inequality, whether it's a woman being abuse issue, drug issue, health issues. The other day I had a conversation with a woman who was bringing up these issues where she continued, and she was not a woman of color, and she continued to talk about how the dark-skinned women this and dark-skinned women that. And you know me, Dr. John Kim, I'll stop you in a heartbeat on an issue. I had to make her realize, do you understand that you yourself are making a distinction based on skin color? For example, if Dr. John Kim and I are having a conversation, we're not going to say, oh, well, no, that light-skinned girl, Anna, or that dark-skinned boy, Mark. We're going to say Mark or Anna. So that's the first thing we must do. We must get away from using these labels, trying to identify people by saying, well, the dark or the light-skinned girl. Let's just talk about the girl or whatever her name is or the woman. So in moving forward, we're hoping that NGWCC will be able to shed light on that with having everyone come together. And what's going to be great about it is because we're not just going to be focusing on race and color issues. We're going to be looking at collaborating. You know, we're hoping that we get people in the healthcare profession involved who can help shed light on issues, especially health issues, that affect girls and women of color more so than they do any other racial groups. You know, talk about the employment issues, whether it's, you remember a couple of months ago was a big issue with how women of color wearing their hair, mainly black women. So there is so many issues and topics to be discussed. Dr. John Kim and I are excited about having roundtable discussions where we all come together and we sit down and we have an agenda and we openly talk about the issues, because in order for us to move forward, and remember, like Dr. John Kim noted, it's the two of us. So we want you to get involved, join forces with us, arm in arm, in unity, regardless of your race, your ethnicity, the color of your skin, you know, how you wear your hair, where you live. It's not where you come from. It's what you can bring to the table and help make this organization as strong as we know it can be. And I think Dr. John Kim was, let me just put it this way. We are big in diversity and multiculturalism. We are strong believers in that. And in unity. Oh, that's our biggest, I think what is so beautiful about our partnership is that Dr. John Kim and I both understand and realize the need for all people of color to come together on a united front and work together for the good of everybody. So when it comes to looking at people getting involved, we're looking for people, and I love the way the president and Mrs. Obama, we say it's not where you come from. You know, it's not about the color of your skin either, gang. It's about you realizing, like Dr. John Kim and I have, that there is a need. There is a serious need to address these issues, and it's a need to bring together girls and women of color. And one of the great things I love about working with Dr. John Kim, gang, is that we are looking for people from everywhere. We're not just looking at, you know, and I'll get clobbered for saying this and beat up, but we're not looking for people in academia, only. We want the secretary, we want the nurse. If you're a firefighter, you're a plumber, a teacher, you're a graduate student, you're a student, we want all of you to get involved because we need to have different perspectives. And one thing, Dr. John Kim, I noted when I was talking to someone earlier today about NGWCC, and this was a man, and the first thing out of his mouth was, well, I hope to God you're not trying to make this one of these organizations where you only see people. You want to try and bring in stars, and he just went on through a list of the type of people, and I said, no, that's not who Dr. John Kim and I are. We are looking for everyone, because it's just like with research, Dr. John Kim, if people keep conducting research on groups, but not getting the results or taking their research and going to the masses who they are studying and saying to them, okay, here are the results of our study or my study. This is what it says. What can we do to help fix this or make a difference or change? And when you're conducting research and you continue to study these groups and they're just going into journals or books, 9 times out of 10, Dr. John Kim, you and I both know the average person, they're not going to pick up one of those books and read them, or the scholarly mm-hmm. journal. So this is another reason why we think NGWCC is going to be so effective and make a difference, because we're all going to be women of color, girls of color, who understand, because we've lived the experiences and we've lived the issues that we will be focusing on. Dr. John Kim, do you want to add anything else?
And definitely, like, you know, I know from my side, and I've told this to Dr. Colbert, you know, when I've talked to any of my people at the colleges or within my diversity groups and told them about NGWCC, you know, a lot of them said, I'm really interested in that. Can I join? Do I have to be a person of color to join? Or do I have to be a female to join? And no.
Right.
We embrace anybody. We embrace people. They don't have to be women. They don't have to be of the female gender. And they don't have to be people of color. Just as long as they have an interest in learning, exploring, sharing ideas, you are welcome. And at the same time, you don't have to be a professional. You can be someone like a graduate student or just a student who just, you know, embraces our vision or our mission and wants to know more. I mean, we totally encourage that. We want this, like, you know, Dr. Colbert and I have said, we want this to be a growing group where like minds, information is exchanged. Our mission is just to address the needs of girls and women of color and to eliminate any kind of barriers that may separate girls, women within society from really growing, from becoming successful in all areas of life. So definitely, if anyone is interested, don't feel like, well, I'm not the right gender, I'm not the right color. No, if you're interested, we welcome you.
That's right, we do. And I think that is so awesome, you know, for everyone to understand and realize that's the key here, to make sure they understand that. Because if you don't, then what will happen is that you don't want a group that's just going to be a one side. You want all perspectives and viewpoints and ideas and contributions. And I think what's really important for all women of color to understand is that in order for you to grow, to reach higher ground in life, change is something that we're going to have to learn to embrace. You know, we have to get out of your comfort zones. You may have to change your style, your likes, your dislikes. It's important to understand that in order for you to grow and continue to reach higher ground in life, that you're going to have to be some changes. And you're going to have to be able to embrace working with people from all walks of life. And I think that's just crucial to understand. What do you think, Dr. John Kim?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And as we said earlier in the show, we don't want girls, you know, of all colors and women of all colors to place in a box and say, okay, I see this is what the girls need. Like, all these girls are dealing with eating disorders, all races of girls. And just to simply put them in one category and say, all girls are going through this, or all women, you know, want to bleach their hair or want to have plastic surgery, you know, what a hurtful thing to do to those unique individuals, girls and women, who should not be categorized into one single group and said, this is who you are and this is the things you're going through. Like we said before, everyone is unique, and their uniqueness should be seen. That's what makes them special. And if everyone's the same, then they would all be robots. But we
That's
all
right.
have different minds, different opinions. We are good at different things. We need development in different areas too. But when all minds, all kinds of people come together and exchange ideas, like, wow, what an enlightening experience that would be, to exchange mm-hmm. ideas and bring better understanding. And I think that's exactly what this Council is trying to do. That's our vision. It's just bringing ideas together, providing resources where we can collaborate and guide and mentor girls, women of color, so that they can be successful in life.
That's right, and it's so crucial. And I think when we start talking about moving onward, it's being able to know that it's time to move on. And yep. Some things, you where they are, and you don't want to walk around and carry a, you know, if people say someone brings so much emotional or so much baggage with them into something, it's understanding the past, realizing that it will always be a part of you. But as Dr. Jung Kim noted earlier, and I love when she says this, you do not allow it to define you, put you in a box, or hold you back in life, because moving onward, you're saying, okay, you know what, the past is what it is, it happened, I can't go back and change it, but I can change my future and where I'm going to go and how I'm going to get there. And one thing that's great about NGWCC is that we will be able to provide the support mechanism, tools, strategies, ideas, and mentorship to help girls and women of color, you know, reach that higher ground. It's just so important that we understand that sometimes in society, Dr. Jung Kim, I've noticed this myself in conducting all the research, and Dr. Jung Kim and I think are probably the only two women in the world who have offices in our homes where we have so many stacks and piles of folders of research, where we understand that we can't let society continue to try and define how a girl of a woman of color is supposed to act, what they're supposed to do with their lives. In other words, it's just like I said to someone about a program at a community college. That's great. It's a good start. But sometimes programs like these career training programs, they're good, Dr. Jung Kim, but they also put girls and women of color in employment positions that stagnate them in a sense and hold them back, because the bulk of them graduate with the degrees and they're in minimum wage jobs. And until the minimum wage changes and it increases, again, we have to look at issues like that and try and encourage our girls and women of color to propel themselves higher, to reach higher ground, you know, getting more education or better training. And we're not saying that everybody needs to go to college, because college is not for everyone, but whatever trade or skill set that you've mastered, use that to open up your own business. And yes. I think that else will be important of supporting women and young girls of color opening up their own businesses, and understanding that you should set, the sky should be the limit for you. And one of our goals is to make sure we encourage girls and women of color to understand and realize that there are no limitations for you. But if you allow yourself to be placed in a box, and you allow yourself to remain in that box, 9 times out of 10, it's going to take you a while to get out. So you need to break down those barriers, the walls, sides of the box, step out, think out of the box, and not allow anyone to confine you. And I think, Dr. Jung Kim, based on my research of what I'm seeing and everything, and I keep coming back with the same conclusion, it's that, why are girls and women of color being depicted as being so fragile and so weak, whereas years ago they were always labeled as being, you know, strong, resilient, able to handle A, B, C, or D? But I think it's just like with colorism. The mindset and the complexity of colorism is designed to make people think, okay, in order for me to overcome this and get away from it and get myself together, I have to be validated. I have to have someone acknowledge that I went through all these issues. But in the end, they don't. Let me shut up, because I'm getting ready to talk about the book. But I think you see where I'm going to with this, right, Dr. Jung Kim?
Yeah, no, I do. And it just reminds me of a story of a student that I had last week. And, you know, she is a black student. And, you know, okay, so I'm hesitating a little bit. So I teach a predominantly non-people of color kind of college. And, you know, there's a sprinkling of a few people of color students at the school. And, you know, all of them that I've met, because there's only 5 of them, they all work. They all work with three jobs, and, you know, they're all there on scholarship, sports scholarships. But they, my one particular student, like, you know, I finally asked her, like, 10 weeks into the semester, I said, you know, why is it you're always falling asleep? And by the way, her, so she looked at me very confused and kind of hardness in her eyes. And I was kind of taken aback. And then I said, come here. Like, I'd like to talk to you after class. I really want to know what's going on. Because during week one, week two, she wrote these fabulous kind of papers. In week 10, she was failing. So I had to report her, and I said, I have to report you. And she said, you know, I'm working so many different jobs just to be able to afford going to college here, even though I'm on a sports scholarship, that I'm tired in school. And, you know, and she was expecting me to come and say to her, and I guess other teachers haven't been telling her that for years, that, you know, she was just another lazy black student who probably wasn't going to graduate. You know, was probably going to just drop out of college. So nobody really wanted to put a lot of, you know, really lift her up or spend time with her. And she was expecting me to come and say, you know what, you dropped a class, you're falling asleep during class. We can't forget that a lot of our students, you know, students of color, like, they have a lot going on. They're the first ones to go to college. And we can't forget that they have needs and that they're people. And they're trying to make it in the world. And they need help. They need mentorship. They need guidance. They need that encouragement saying, you know, you can press on. You can do it. But if you need to take smaller steps along the way, then reach out for help. So how are we going to do this? So, and the thing is, you know, I've been in the faculty meetings where, you know, discussions like this have occurred. What are we going to do with these students? And they're always called these students or those students, which we know. I even had a faculty member say, what are we going to do with our special colored students? So it just goes to show, like, as much as we need, number one, we need more advocates for students of color. Because I really don't think faculty members are trained properly on how to address their needs, not to put them under one box, not to marginalize them, but to understand, like, what background they're coming from, and that they already feel the pressure of, like, they can see it in the eyes of the teachers or the people around them, even their other, like, students, their peers, that, what are you doing here? You're not going to make it. Maybe you'll make it through first semester, you know, but you really think you're going to be successful? You're just going to be another number. You'll probably end up in prison, in a gang. You probably were in a gang. You'll probably end up pregnant. You'll end up like how your parents are, you know. And we've had some really great conversations. And, you know, the other student that's there, he's a young man, he's black, and, you know, he is at the school because his father is the head custodian at the school, and he didn't want to go there, but, you know, because his father's like a full-time faculty there, I mean, not full-time faculty, full-time worker there, he was able to get like a discount on his tuition, so he attends the school. But I mean, he says it's really hard. I mean, he feels the eyes looking at him. They, you know, of course, in the first day orientation, they talked about diversity training, and people said, yes, I want you in my group. You are in my group. You are one of us. But he knows he will never be part of that group. He will always be the other. And I think that just, I don't want to be negative, but, you know, I think that's something that we can't forget. Girls and women of color, they're students of color. They feel like the other, you know. The training in diversity the first week of class or during orientation, awesome. I mean, I see the heart, the intention is there, but is it really helping? No. And I think that's another thing that I hope through this council that we can come up with better ideas, manuals, and discussions on what can we do? How can we get more faculty of color in the school? How we can get more administrators in the school? How can we help the mixed race students or the students of color to be successful in school. you know,
right.
to be appreciated, to be mentored, and rather than feeling like they're just a statistic, that people are just waiting for them to be that statistic that they read about in their textbooks, those black, those, you know, Hispanic students. Well, this is who they become, and this is who they are. They're gang members. They're drug members. And, well, you can see it on TV, too. So, you know, we just need to change that mind thinking, especially as our society is becoming more and more diverse. It can't be ignored. Our students, by the next 20 years, it's going to be all, like, people of color. Things just have to change. And I hope this council can address that need, too.
And I think it'll be good because I think it'll be great because we'll be able to we realize and identify that there are issues, especially at the college level, with diversity and faculty and how students of color are being treated, if they're able to relate to them and understand. I think that is so crucial, and that may be something we end up, you know, tackling or addressing with colleges and universities, because that is, it is crucial, it is key. And I can tell you, Dr. Jung Kim, you know, I've been in, you know, teaching for 14 years, and there's such a lack of diversity when it comes to faculty. It's a severe lack of understanding. It's not that anyone is looking for them to be, give them any special privileges or treatment, but it's just such a lack of the connection. It's a lack of, I think, colleges, universities, even understanding where and when and how to embrace, you know, students of color, especially when it comes to girls. And it's also an issue where it's just like when I taught over in Washington, D.C., both of my students were females, girls of color, they're black. And there were so many issues that I noted where so many of them had just been passed through the system. We also want to focus in on education issues and get parents involved to focus in on making sure their children are obtaining a quality education, that when they graduate from high school, they can read and write well. So there's so many issues that we, and here's something else, people, so that you understand, listeners, we are not going to be a political flunky organization. We will not.
Right, absolutely.
You know, that's just something I am totally against. If we stand for a cause, and a cause is rather, and we have a focus, then you can rest assured, and I think you all who've known Dr. Jung Kim and I for a while, you know exactly that we are two women who do not back down and change our course or for any political reasons whatsoever. The issues are real. And we are going to be an organization that are going to address the real issues in real time, in reality, because we believe in understanding, focusing in on, talking about, you know, what are the root issues? What do we need to address to help girls and women of color reach higher ground in life and to send a message out to the world that, hey, we do have voices and our voices are going to be heard. And I think the whole focus, Dr. Jung Kim, of the council is so awesome, and so I'm so excited about it. I think it's going to be, I think we're going to be an answer that has been needed for so long, where we will see people come together, people of color come together with an understanding and a purpose to make a difference. And that's the key. We want to make a difference. So if it sounds good to you, you're interested, a couple of days we'll have our, well, probably over the weekend we'll have our WordPress blog where you'll be able to have any, send in, you know, request, you know, additional information or let us know if you want to get involved and join and work with us. And here's the thing. We have to learn, everyone, that your voice is heard when you open your mouth or you get involved. If you're sitting home in your house, talking about the issues, concerned, frustrated, upset, and you're just talking to a friend or family member, that may not resolve help you get the issues resolved. But if it's the issues that we know need to be addressed, remember that there are power in numbers. Make your voice heard. You know, get involved. Stand for a cause, because what we believe in standing firm, tall and strong, and our mission, our vision, our core values. So we're opening it up to you. We're looking forward to you getting involved. And one thing you have to understand is that we put differences on the sidebar because it's for the good of the organization and for our members, and remember, for girls and women of color. Anything else you want to add, Dr. Duncan?
Just pretty much that from the conversations just on the street or just in the area, it just seems like some of you are just embracing this. But the bigger question is, yes, Dr. Kovacs and I have established this. We are pressing forward with this council. But honestly, there's so many people who are like, what took so long for something like this to form? I mean, not so much from us, Dr. Kovacs and I, but just why society has nothing like this even existed before? We have the NAACP, but why do we not have something for girls and women of color? Such a simple concept. So when Dr. Kovacs, you know, first came up with the idea and said, what about this? I was like, yes. And then I Google searched it and said, look, I cannot believe nothing even similar that exists. So with that in mind, I think I speak for both of us. I'm so excited to have this. It's finally time, even though it's 2014, about to be 2015, but I'm just so happy to be a part of this. Wish this existed when I was younger, but I just feel like moving forward, moving onward, wow, like what a difference it's going to make if society has something like this for students, for just girls and women of color, to know that they're important. And a council like this was developed with their needs just in mind. What do they need? And, I mean, they're that unique and that special that something like this was developed. So definitely if anyone's hearing, I hope you feel encouraged knowing that you are special, you are unique, you're not invisible. You don't have to be defined by what people say or what people say your race is or the skin of your color. You don't have to be that. You can be more. And Dr. Colbert and I are here to cheer you on, and this is why this council was developed for you.
Right, so get out, come on out and get involved and join, lock arms with us. And there's a lot of work to be done. And, you know, roll up our sleeves in unity, everyone come together and we'll start working to bring about the change that we need to see to support our girls and women of color. And before I forget, Dr. Duncan, I wanted to mention also that our books, our two books will be coming out. Dr. John Kim, you want to talk about Live Life Beautiful, and then I'll take Live Life Fabulous.
Okay, so where do I start? So as you all know, we've been talking about this for a while, and thank you for everyone for just saying, when is that book going to come out? But it's going to come out soon, a book of affirmations for girls of color. Definitely something that, another thing that is needed, nothing like this even exists. We hope that you feel empowered by it. A lot of different things in there that are going to be addressed, like self-identity, just moving forward, education. I think we've been very selective about the topics that we address because we want it to be encouraging. We want you to be a time of reflection as you read it. But most of all, to know that you are important. You can be the change. You can break that glass ceiling, any kind of stereotype that exists out there, because we want all girls of color to feel positive that they can move forward and do something with their lives, and that they don't have to be caught into this box, that they can embrace who they are and believe in themselves.
It's truly so crucial to understand, and our book will be coming out within, I think it's like 2 weeks, and we're excited, and we will start putting some sneak previews on our WordPress blog and our Facebook page. And by the way, Dr. Jung Kim, I Am Beautiful's Facebook page has grown so much. I think it's over 3,000 likes in the past couple of weeks alone.
Wow.
I think 2 weeks. Fabulously 50 Women of Color has grown. I think we're at 800 likes, which is really great because we just started it in October. So, you know, having said that, our second book is Live Life Fabulous, which consists of affirmations for women of color in their fabulous 50s, and I think there's 100 and something of them. That book will also be coming out, and we're going to offer them as package deals. You buy one, you get the other one at a certain price, and we'll have all the good information, but the book, the idea or the reason why we put together these two affirmation books is because we saw a need. And like Dr. Jung Kim noted, there was nothing out there for girls of color. Nothing to say, hey, you have value, you have worth, think positive, love who you are, you know, think change is good, think about your future, education. We talk about selective topics that are so close to home for so many girls of color, and fabulously, the book for Live Life Fabulous for women in their 50s who are of color. Likewise, the book talks about so many crucial issues and areas so that women of color in their 50s realize, okay, you know what? This is my second beginning. It's not, like we always say, Dr. Jung Kim, it's not the frumpy sweatpants. And, you know, and it's, you know, realizing that you have so much more going for you and that you can live life fabulous. It's all about you loving you, embracing who you are, and understanding that you are the master of your destiny, that no one can box you in, no one can tell you how you have to live your life. That freedom is yours. So both books, we're excited about both books coming out. This has been an excellent year for us, and we can't thank our listeners, our fans, our followers. We cannot thank you enough. I wanted to give a special thank you to Miss Joy Johnson, who follows us on Twitter. She's also a member of our Writers of Color group on Facebook. And to Judy Wu, they always retweet and support all of our efforts. So to you, ladies, thank you very, very much. We appreciate what you do. We appreciate your retweets and your support. It means the world to us. And to all the listeners and followers, we thank you.
Thank you.
Dr. Jung, you want to add anything before we close?
No, I think you covered everything. Like I said before, we're very excited. Definitely check out our WordPress page for NGWCC. And join. Don't feel like you're not good enough or you have nothing to add. We'd love to hear your voice. Your voice is important, unique, and that's enough.
That's right. And don't forget, because there may be areas or issues that we may have overlooked or not have thought about, but you can bring that to the table, and you're passionate about it, then that could be an area that you're going to cover and focus in on. So we want you to just come out, get involved. Let's do this in unity. Let's enjoy working together and being a part of the change, like as the Colors and Projects motto is, be a part of the change that is needed. So everyone, we want to thank you for tuning in tonight. We look forward to you getting involved in NGWCC. And by the way, let me give you the address for our WordPress blog. To be specific, and give me 2 seconds. Because it's so funny, the other night, Dr. Jung Kim, I was working in there, and then for some reason I created a second blog and couldn't figure out how to get rid of it. So here it is, everybody. Our WordPress blog, which is going to be up and running, it'll continue to run even when our website is launched. But in the interim, we will have our blog up with information and details for you, and we'll start adding information on there over the weekend into next week. But the address of the blog is ngwcc.wordpress.com. You can like us on Facebook. You can find us there under, National Girls and Women of Color Council, Inc. You can find us under that name. And on Twitter, we're at NGWCC. So everybody, thank you so much for tuning in tonight. We hope you enjoyed the show. We hope that we provided you with good information and details about NGWCC, and we're looking forward to you getting involved and working with us. Thank you for tuning in, everyone. Have a great evening, a wonderful weekend, and we'll see you next week. Good night.
Good night.
Thank you for tuning in to The Dynamics of Colorism with your host, Dr. Donna Maria Culbreth. You may contact Dr. Culbreth at 1-800-905-2136. You may email your questions to drculbreth
BRETH, at colorismproject.com. We're looking forward to you tuning in next Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Until then, remember, dare to be different and dream in color. This is Dr. Culbreth, signing off for the Dynamics of Colorism. Good night, everyone.